in the name of Jesus. Lord, prepare our hearts to understand and to receive. And as for me, Lord, I come under your authority. Use, Lord, my word for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please do
take your seats. When we started in the book of Jeremiah, I did mention, and that is quite a few weeks ago actually, I mentioned how some regard it to be a difficult, daunting, and depressing book to read. But I added that read carefully, this is one of the most unique books of the Old Testament, and in fact, it so closely resembles with some of the key or the main messages of the minister of our Lord Jesus Christ and the New Testament. Just to mention quickly, to keep your interest, three things generally from the book to mention. These are three very unique to Jeremiah in the Old Testament. First one I have put here, religion versus living relationship. Jeremiah is the unique prophet in the Old Testament who openly said religion and its ceremonies were worse than useless if one spirit was not engaging and changing the person. In Jeremiah's opinion, even the whole system of sacrifices was pointless if these activities didn't bring the real change in the people. Now, compare this with the attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have carefully looked at the four Gospels, you would see that who did Jesus had trouble most of the time? Who did grumble at Jesus? Even today I read in the passage, it were the people who were into the ceremonies, into the religious activities, without letting those things to change their heart, their mind. Neither Jeremiah was against, nor Christ was against, nor I am against such activities. But the point is that if they are not changing the person, then, as I said, like Jeremiah, I agree that they are worse than useless. Because what happens, as was the case in the New Testament section of the Bible I read to you, they make people arrogant, proud, and actually totally cut off from God. And if you really want to see that how Jesus reacted to these sort of things, you don't need to read all the four Gospels. Please note just one chapter, Matthew chapter 23, and you will see what I mean. The second thing very unique to Jeremiah, and I have put it here, God is mindful of an individual. The Old Testament so often speaks or talks about God's dealing with nation or a ethnic group than with individuals. Yes, here and there, we do find glimpses that God is concerned for individuals too, such as Psalm 139, I am wonderfully and fearfully made, but the overall is dealing as communal. But it is Jeremiah that who brings to this that each individual is important to God. For instance, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 29 and 30. And here it says, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but all shall die. In those days, there shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but all shall die for their own sin. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. church. So each individual is responsible before God. That is actually in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, who had forcefully brought. And you come to the New Testament, and that is where you see that it is the individual that matters to God. Often people who come from certain other countries where the majority religion is something else than Christianity, they wonder at times, they are bewildered that how each individual's opinion so much matters in the Western world. And perhaps most people in the Western world don't remember the root goes back to the New Testament, where it is that God says that I am concerned, I am mindful of each individual. But it already started by Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And the third here I have put, which is unique to Jeremiah, and that is about Jeremiah and politics. Yes, I know that we are in a culture where we believe and we want to hold to that, the separation between the state and the church. Good for us for that. But when you look at the prophet Jeremiah, he is the one who gave more advice on the political issues in the Old Testament than any other. And you read actually carefully the New Testament, and New Testament does not say that the church must wash hands from the political systems. And I often wonder that, especially remembering it today, I don't know how many of you remember that today is a very special day. It is 9/11. 15 years ago, when those two twin towers were brought down, absolutely horrible, but what unfolded, billions and billions and billions spent upon human destruction, hundreds and thousands died, and most of them totally innocent people. And I wonder if church was more actively involved on these sort of issues, what the world would be. Food for your thought, I'll leave it with you. But now let us turn to the passage we read in our Bible. And it is on page 712, if you want to follow 712 in the Old Testament section. I think that what we read, this passage best could be described in one sentence, and that is, God is merciful even in his wrath. The story is the old story, all about the coming destruction of the nation at the hands of Babylonians because they did not heed God's voice. But their rebellion deserved total, absolute, total annihilation. However, God promised that he will save a remnant in his mercy. This passage, this is in verse 27, very clear. The whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. But you know that this passage, if you read carefully, it is not just about that immediate situation when the Babylonians were going to attack the Judean government. But look the wording, and you will see that it is talking about the future, about the times when not only that tiny place, but the whole earth will lay waste. And especially it is seen in verses 23 to 25. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. But the point I want to make is here is this. God promised that whatever comes to the world, there will be always a remnant of the Jews. And this comes very forcefully later in the book, chapter 30, verse 37, where God said that, "Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth below can be explored, then I will reject all the offspring of Israel because of all they have done, says the Lord." If these things cannot happen, then the Lord says, I cannot fully reject them either. What a tremendous, tremendous hope in God's mercy, that however wickedness exceed in humanity, God's promise is there that even in his wrath, he will deal mercifully. But to focus for your interest a little bit on the nation of Israel. As I was preparing this sermon, and I stumbled upon an event which took place in Russia during the time of Peter the Great. During his time, an aged preacher of the word was imprisoned because of preaching the gospel. One night, the Caesar called the aged preacher before him and asked, Can you give me one infallible proof to verify the Bible? The old man said one brief sentence. He said, "Yes, sir, the Jew." I haven't met, and most probably you have never met either, a Babylonian, Hittite, an Assyrian, or an Amalekite. These are the nations during the time when this was all happening, when God promised the whole world can be destroyed, but I'm going to keep the remnant. But I have met Jews, and I know in my church one person married to a Jew, and I guess that you have met the Jew as well. They were the people without self-government for 2,500 years. And for 1,800 years, they were without a national home. Every reason to be extinct. But in May 1948, they became a nation again, against all the odds. The secret, because God promised that whatever happens, I will keep them. And the purpose now, my friends, my beloveds, to tell you this story. God has kept Israel, but do you know that our Savior promised to the church something as well? He said that I will build upon this rock the church, and the gates of the Hades, gates of hell, shall not prevail. The church has received persecution beyond any human belief. I don't know if you know that in 20th century, in just 100 years, there were more Christians martyred than during the 1900 years before. And since the dawn of this new, that century, the 21st century, it is just unbelievable that how many Christians are slaughtered and people even don't notice. You just don't need to go very far. Just remember or remind yourself, not long ago I told about just one country, Iraq. How many Christians were there? How many are left there? But the good news is that Lord Jesus Christ said, he promised that the gates of Hades shall not overcome. And it's only a couple of weeks ago I said to you that whatever I say about the church here, but look what the Lord is doing. I mentioned about a small town in Reading, how the revival is breaking. God is reaching out to men and women in the streets. Young children, teenagers, they are stopped, Christians. Could you please tell me about this Jesus? 80% plus years old Christian, they're stopped on the streets and asked that, could you please tell me how to know about Jesus? And last Sunday I mentioned, just a few weeks ago, there was this event known as Soul Thrivers. 1,500 young people came to the Lord. And if I may add a tiny story from here as well, for me, it is not a small thing that you announce in April that in a few years' time, we will have a youth worker, and the Lord has said, I can do it now. You don't need to wait for that, because this land, these people, this community is so, so precious to me. Isn't it wonderful? So let us have that faith that he who promised that the gates of Hades shall not prevail, he will keep the church. Last point, just quickly, I want to mention, as I said to you, that this is actually talking this passage from about much wider things than just about that disaster which was approaching the Judah. Two verses at the beginning of the chapter. Look at these. If you return, O Israel, says the Lord, if you return to me, if you remove your abomination from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear as the Lord lives in truth, in justice, and in uprightness, and listen what will happen, the nations shall be blessed. Nations shall be blessed. Paul has taken this theme in Romans chapter 11. Have a look at some time that why all this persecution, all these things have happened to the Israelites throughout the history. Chapter 11 of Romans, read that one. Because it is for a purpose. God has not forsaken them. It is for a purpose so that you and me and others can enter into God's kingdom. And then, as Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 says, that they will return to Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what will happen. I have taken this reference from New King James Version, which is a better translation of the Hebrew than the one we use in our church. And here it is. Zechariah 12 verse 10, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Just imagine, if they are such a blessing to the world. And again, as preparing this, I went on the website and take a courage. Look at the website, the contribution of a tiny nation known as Jews. It is just phenomenal what they contribute to the humanity. If it is now, what they will be blessing the day they return to God through Jesus Christ. But let me finish with this. Why do I tell about the Jews? God has kept the church on this earth for a purpose. I have said it countless times that for God it would have been so easy. The day I became Christian, he took me to heaven. I never broke his heart. He never needed to grieve that now I chose you and still you end up to sin. And I guess that is about all the Christians too. But God has kept the church for a purpose. Church to be blessing to the world. And I often wonder, and I still put this as a challenge or a question for you to ponder. What the church would be. What the church would be if we preach the gospel in its entirety. If you come from people like me, from the places where darkness is so much, and you just can't believe that what is this light, wonderful light, but I wonder how much more the world will be full of light if the church preached the gospel in full, its entirety. May God give us the grace to preach the gospel without wavering and see what God does to the world.